In this bonus episode of Fictional Hangover, we talk about irrational fears, sound effects, and the glamorous paperwork of audiobook production with audiobook producer Elise Green. Everybody, welcome to Fictional Hangover, a podcast about young adult and new adult books, series, authors, and voice actors, and now audiobook producers that is full of spoilers. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire, and today we're chatting with audiobook producer Elise Green. Enjoy!
3, 2, 1, fart.
I can't do that on command.
You need to practice.
But I think it's because I'm so old now that if I move up off the couch to go get something in the kitchen, it's the air kind of, I don't know, jostles a little.
Yeah.
It's either air or bone creaking.
Yeah.
if your bones don't creak, yeah. Have you really reached your 30s plus?
Or creak. I made Polly do that, the creaking. And then I think I had Gabino do the special kind of extra in the post-production to make creak sound a little extra woodsy.
At 2 o'clock in the morning, that's not comfortable, just so you know.
No, I know.
Thanks for that.
I know.
It's not. Sorry. Best. Oh, it's the best.
Sorry, not sorry.
It's the best. Oh my gosh. Okay, so Claire, is it time?
It's time. I'm so excited. It's time.
I am also excited. I'm actually dying on the inside, and I'm
trying
to really...
Have you turned to goo again? Because you've literally just solidified.
I'm here, but I'm goo on the inside.
You're one of those sweeties
you sent me. I've got a
gooey
center.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how long I've been stalking our special guest on social media. It's been probably too long. Probably longer than anyone actually noticed.
You shouldn't admit this because it's admissible in the court.
I don't care. I don't care. So we have a very special guest today. Elise Green is with us, and I am seriously dying because she's an audiobook producer, and she's my hero in a sort of way, and that's, I'm kind of shaking now that we're actually starting the interview because just, I can't handle it. And I asked her on Twitter before she came here, is it okay that I'm obsessed? Is it?
Yes. You've always got my permission to be all creepy obsessed.
Mine too. Honestly, I've never had anybody obsessed.
Cool. Well,
except for maybe a couple of ex-boyfriends, but
again, legally admissible in court. Let's not go there.
Yeah, I'm not taking it that far. But having listened to The Dead House, it's by far my favorite audiobook of all time. And then, you know, you find out, oh yeah, it's someone's job to produce this madness. And then you find her on Twitter and become obsessed with all of her glorious outfits. So, you know.
Right. My 1950s obsession. Speaking of obsessions. Yes.
Yeah. So you can make something terrifying and full of nightmares whilst being adorable, and I love that.
Yeah, exactly. It is a strange combination that doesn't always work, but I love horror, so the fact that I was asked to do Dawn's first book, Dead House, was just perfect for me. I love to scare people or be scared.
So good. It's perfect. So good.
I'm so glad you love it. It's one of those books that I remember getting the manuscript and seeing just how it's laid out. And I'd never seen anything like that before. I'm not sure how many books end up being laid out like that, with the sort of words spinning around on the page or dripping down, or, you know, Dawn has this fascinating way of describing a scene with bold type and things like that, and to have to put that into audio is not even sure how to tackle it at first. You kind of look at the page and go, I can't do this. I don't know what this is. I've never seen this before.
Can you give me something normal, please?
Yeah. Try again.
Right, but then you dive in and there's no book I'd rather be doing sometimes than a Dawn Kurdikich book. She's just, wow.
Yeah. As much as we've bugged her, she's not given us any more yet.
Oh no, she's working on it, right?
She is.
She keeps saying she's working on 300 different books, I think, at the same time.
At least.
She's
at
a constant tease.
I think she got the edits back on her YA one or something like that. So I've been waiting for her adult one for what seems like years, but I'll get it. Day one.
I'm wondering, though, how much more adult her adult book could possibly get, because her YAs are not, they're not sparing any details.
No, but I'm excited. I'm so looking forward to them. Oh, man.
I remember we asked her, especially, is there anything you wouldn't do? And she was like, no.
Yes, what? No.
Not
I don't think so. After Teeth in the Mist, I'm not sure if there's anything else she can surprise us with. Yeah.
That was the first Dawn one I actually listened to.
Oh, really? I threw the kitchen sink in there on that one.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was for the first October episode, the first Halloween episode I was involved with on Fictional Hangover. And Amanda was like, we're doing Teeth in the Mist. You have to do Teeth in the Mist. You have to listen to Dawn. I was like, okay. She's like, just listen to it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I listened to it. And I'm like, what are you making me listen to? This is freaking terrifying. Why are you doing this to me? Because, I mean, I do stuff around the house when I listen to audiobooks. But a big time for me is actually in bed at night when I'm just lying there. And I was like, you know, when you think, when you're little and you put your hand out the bed, oh, no, the monsters will get me.
Yes.
And it was that situation. I was like, I really need to go pee, but I can't go pee because this is too good.
And then you do
there's
going to
be monsters in the bathroom.
I was going to say, what do you mean little? I still don't put my hand out of the covers at night because I'm pretty sure something's going to reach up and grab me.
When I get hot in bed, I put my feet out of the bed, but I have to put them over the covers. And that little fraction of a second of sticking my foot out and lifting it over, I'm terrified in case my foot gets licked or picked or prodded or something. And I'm like, no.
There's a Far Side cartoon that I still remember from when I was a child of a little boy under the covers, and he's got this snorkel device, and it's this special snorkel device for kids that are terrified of the monsters outside of the covers so they can breathe. And I remember I think in this Far Side cartoon there are monsters all around his bed, and he's sitting here underneath the covers with the snorkel on.
That's genius.
It's the idea that I've always wanted to make happen.
I'm going on Dragon's Den with this idea. I'm just gonna take a snorkel and see what I can do.
Yeah, exactly. Let me know.
Oh, I'm on a convention. But as much as we need to talk about Dawn, which we will.
Yes.
We are not currently talking about a Dawn Kurdikich book. That was a couple of weeks ago. We're talking about Freak Show today, which is amazing.
This is why we're fabulous, darling.
Oh, no, I love it so much.
Freak Show is the best, and I'm so happy you're featuring it, because it's one of those little books that could.
It can, exactly. And it does it fabulously.
Freak Show is the best. It's the best. And thank you for featuring it, because I don't know that many people know about the audio version. I know a lot of people know about the book, which came out in 2006, I want to say. Total groundbreaker. Mm. James St. James.
Yeah. Made
complete
of magic.
Icon. It's so good.
I'm so curious to know what you thought. I don't know. I mean, this is your podcast, so I will let you lead, but I'm so excited to hear your thoughts on it.
We'll get to it. We will. But first, we have to do Would You Rather. Yay! It's time. It's time for
Would You Rather. Do we
have to? Okay. Unfortunately, so we do.
Let's stick to script for a change. So on social media, we asked our lovely listeners, would you rather be homecoming queen or star quarterback? Gender, whatever. You know, you
gender
be you.
Gender aside, yes.
Gender aside, you be you. What do you want to be, the homecoming queen or the star quarterback? And on Facebook, 67% the homecoming queen. and 33% star quarterback. On Instagram, it was 72% for the homecoming queen and 28% on the quarterback. And Twitter are just fabulous, darling. They're all the queens.
Really?
Which doesn't surprise me at all, actually. It's a dark place, but they love the glitter.
Oh, yeah. It is a dark place. It's a glittery cesspool, apparently.
It is.
That's my new favorite thing, glittery cesspool. I'm going to take a note of it. Do we have any good comments that are better than glittery cesspools?
Because unfortunately not. I think we're just going to have to stick that on the t-shirt and leave it. We have four. Annie on Facebook says, all about the dress. Looking forward to reading this one.
Oh, nice.
And Annie will. She probably already has read it by now.
She probably already has read it by now. Tanya on Facebook said, that was a tough choice, but my love of sports outweighs dressing up. I mean, I don't know why you can't do both at the same time. Dress up and play football.
You can't do American football in a tiara, though. That's a health and safety risk.
Yeah, I guess you need to wear a helmet, but you could glitter your helmet.
You could glitter your helmet. Shoes, hat, a helmet, appropriate footwear, and glitter.
Mm-hmm. That's all you need.
Constance on Facebook. I'm way too clumsy to play football. You want me to die or something? Constance, you literally work in a bakery and turn the ovens by hand.
Climbing inside the ovens, we recently learned.
Yes.
Yikes. Yikes.
Dang.
Finally, Mr. Jitters on Instagram said, I cannot see why I cannot be both.
Can I ask a really dumb question?
There is no dumb question, apparently only dumb answers. So I'm ready with a dumb answer.
I don't know. I mean, this is me. What does a homecoming queen actually do? We don't have them in the UK. So I see them on TV, but all I see is them parading around with the crown and that's it. When they say there's duties, what? You just what? Stand there and look pretty?
Amanda, I don't know. Can you take this one? I don't know.
What is the point of a homecoming queen? I don't get it.
I have read in books that the homecoming queen has to do event sort of things.
Hmm.
But I'm not sure. The high school that I went to didn't have that. It was just the title. It was just the crown. It was just the crowd at the football game.
Yeah, because my context is Carrie, and that's pretty much it. You know, you see,
but that's
the
prom. That's
TV.
Prom. That's different.
Is it? Oh, prom. I don't know.
Yeah, it's homecoming, I think, is one of the first big football games of the year, I want to say, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a month into the season, I think. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know about sports. This is just me, like, having been on the dance team in junior high. That's all I know of it.
It's just basically a popularity contest.
It is.
It'd be nice to be popular for a change. But
that's a good question though.
I think I'd rather be star quarterback and be fit. At least, like, you know.
Yeah, okay. See, I had trouble with this one because I don't like those people. I don't like those type of people, and that is awful for me to say, but oh my god, every homecoming they were just the most garbage people, and I don't want to play football because, I mean, in this instance, ankle snap. I don't want that to happen either. So I guess I'm gonna go with homecoming queen just because I don't want to shatter my bones.
It's safer. Yeah, it is. It's safer.
Can I go on the debate team instead and just, you know, not participate in this?
Yeah, can I be in the drama club instead? Because that's just where I belong.
One of the shadow people.
Yes, the shadow people. That's where I was.
Shadow person.
Yeah.
I like the idea of being behind the scenes and not front and center, she says, hosting a podcast.
Exactly.
Ideally, shadow person, but I'll go with quarterback just for the physical fitness. However, can I not be the star? Because I don't want to do the starting game. I just want to be the sub who has to go to all the practices and stuff and runs the field, so you know you're physically fit. But I don't actually want to have to put myself in harm's way.
Mm-hmm. And if you sub in at the right time, you may be the hero.
You may become the star.
It might be good for aggressive tendencies as well. You know, scrum people. I don't know. Sports.
Yes, exactly.
Let's scrap football and let's do roller derby instead.
Oh, yes.
More appropriate. And glitter can be involved.
Roller derby. That is one that I actually really do want to see. And I know that there are some roller derby teams around in New York somewhere. So if I want to make that happen, I just need to research it, and I'm too lazy.
You do. So. You should do it. You should at least go and, like, try it out. You know, they have fresh meat nights, so go and try it out. Put on your skates. Oh, they'll help you.
You want me to? No. Oh, no. Spectator. 100%.
No. You got to try it out at least once. If you can, when the world goes back to a normal place, you should go for one open night just to see what it's like.
Yeah, it's a bit of a contact sport in this day and age, isn't it?
I would blow out both knees. I'd be the one that has, you know, the legs ending up in 90-degree angles.
The wrong way.
Absolutely the wrong way. That would be me, carted off in an ambulance. The one guy's roller derby.
What is your answer to this question, Elise?
Mine is homecoming queen.
Homecoming queen.
I think the pressure of being the quarterback is intense, right? Way too intense. I mean, I think you've got one chance to be beautiful in front of everyone, which is what I do. Just so, I mean, you're beautiful for one night and then you're done, right? A quarterback kind of has to show up multiple times.
At least a few months out of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's too much for stooped.
That's why I'm the sub bench. It's the one they make the movie out of when they finally have to do get subbed and they have to do that winning kick or spangly. I don't know.
Yes.
Sports.
Whee!
Sports. The only time I know sports is during the Olympics. That's the one and only time I know everything about sports is the Olympics. And after that 4 weeks is done, gone.
Okay, next question.
Yes.
Would you rather be a totally straight pirate or a swamp hag or blood-soaked Carrie?
I absolutely went with blood-soaked Carrie because iconic, terrifying. What more do you need, really?
Nothing.
Tentacles
would be a good addition.
I kind of like swamp hag just for the whole Cthulhu effect.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want seal stuck to my face, but tentacles would be fun.
Yeah. Totally freak show approved. Tentacles.
Yeah. I think I'm also gonna go with blood-soaked Carrie because those are my favorite cosplays. This is the disgusting ones covered in blood.
The ones where when you dispose of everything, you need to like put a note on to say this is not real blood.
Yes, which I have done.
Yeah. Not a dead body.
I did not murder someone.
No, I have not been murdered. Clown in the cornfield. When you had the arrow to the head.
That was a fun one too, especially when the guy who was driving by on the street thought that I had an arrow through my head. Good times. Good times.
Hospital.
Yeah, it was so, like, I had to sit, like, leaned over sideways because the arrow was too long, like, it hit the roof of the Jeep. So I was sitting sideways, and I had my eyes closed, and I opened them, and the guy in the car next to us had his hands, and he was, like, against the window, and then I just, like, winked and waved, and he was like, oh my god.
She's gonna have a headache next year.
That was lovely.
I have to check that one out. I mean, it is possible that you could still be conscious and have an arrow through your head. I have seen people, you know, come into hospitals with having shot themselves with a nail gun or something, and they take the X-ray and the nail is just in their brain. They're just hanging out.
I'll never go through a metal detector ever again. You wouldn't want that removed. Just leave it there. It's fine. It's fine.
Right? Somebody named Bib shot themselves with a nail gun. Bib or Bobo?
Bib, Bobo. That's the next question, as a matter of fact.
Would you rather be called Bobo or Bib or blah, blah, blah?
This one's easy for me. Blah, blah, blah has a special place in my heart, so... Definitely blah, blah, blah.
Amanda?
I feel like I'm gonna go with Bobo. I'm gonna go with Bobo. I like blah blah blah. You know, as a character, I love blah blah blah. But I think I just like Bobo. I like the amount of syllables Bobo has. Bobo. You know, it's good. It rolls off the tongue.
It does.
It's good. It does. I'm gonna go with Bobo. So Claire, are you gonna be Bib? Just to even it out, whether you want to or not. Yes.
Fine. I'll take one for the team.
Sports.
Don't accuse me of not being a team player.
What would you really pick?
To be fair, I've probably responded to blah 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 before. I know I've responded to hear you in the past.
Hear you.
Oi. Gesticulate.
Yeah.
But for the trio, for the team, I will be Bib.
Okay.
I may have to ask where that came from. I may have to ask James at some point.
If you find out, let us know.
Yeah.
I will. Bib.
Yeah.
What in the world?
I absolutely adored the revelation of blah blah blah's real name.
What? Mary Jane?
I was stood in the kitchen going, blah blah blah, Mary Jane. No.
Yeah.
Nope, not even close. I love all of the names in the book, though. They're so ridiculous. I love them. Especially that list near the beginning, like the roll call in biology, like all of those names. You're just like, what the fuck is this? Why? Oh, they're so good.
Believe it or not, there is a girl that I went to high school with. Her name was Cinnamon Dixon.
What?
Or Cinnamon. I hope she doesn't listen to this, but... But there was somebody whose name was very close to that. Am I not correct? Cinnamon Dixon? There was somebody named, I don't remember. Anyway, great, great talking to you. Thanks so much for having me.
You're done. Okay, next question. Would you rather be in an unsuccessful boy band or be an unpopular news anchor? You have to be the bad version. We like the bad
version. Unpopular news anchor, I think, sounds more palatable to me. I think because you can stir up some trouble, which is something I like to think I like to do, even though I don't. What about you? Unpopular news anchor or?
I think I want to be in the unsuccessful boy band, but only for a little while, you know, like it'll be like a one hit wonder sort of. Yeah. So, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm only in it for the terrible choreography.
Oh yeah. This one.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
The foot shuffle.
Everybody got that. The pointing.
Yes. Uh-huh. And like the meaningful looks to camera. To the sides. Yeah.
Right, right, right. Yeah,
ooh, and so, yes, getting like a fisheye lens, like just getting up in there. Yep, doing it, but only for the one song, and then I'm gone.
That feels like the 90s to me. Just an unsuccessful boy band. That is like the 90s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially because,
and then
all
when
from
that
Orlando.
One song comes on when you're at the family party, and it's like, yes, everybody get up, sing it.
Yep,
I like five.
I don't know about you, but when boy band songs come on, I get embarrassed. There's some kind of, I don't know, there's a reaction I get, and I get embarrassed, and my face turns red, and I want to disappear. I don't know if anybody else has that reaction, but
I have that reaction, but only when it's like the slow jam emotional ones. I'm like, oh, cringy. But the pop ones, I'm all about it, and learning the choreography.
I'm terrible at boy bands, like, I was never really into them. I felt like peer pressured into liking boy bands. So it was kind of like, pick one. I was like, okay, I'll pick Backstreet Boys, you know?
Right.
You just picked one. And I've never really particularly, like, One Direction, huge UK boy band, couldn't tell you a single song that they've done. And I couldn't recognize a single song when it played on the radio. I was literally driving in the car and went, and that's One Direction. Okay.
Right.
I think it's because I listen to Spotify or podcasts or audiobooks all the time. I'm just not, unless it's a mullet from the 80s, I don't think I recognize it.
Right. I couldn't tell you either One Direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-mm. I would much rather listen to old school rap. I would rather listen to that than Like, I don't know anything that's on the radio today.
Right.
Last time I had the radio on was December, because one of the radio channels always puts Christmas music on through December, and that's what gets played in the car, and that's it. So it was all Christmas music, so it was nothing modern. But unless it's 80s with a mullet, so it's 80s rock, or punk rock, I don't really know. I listen to soundtracks a lot.
I'm a huge fan of scores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no singing skill.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
This is why I would be terrible as an unsuccessful boy band. I would be the unsuccessful part of that boy band.
You're the reason why it gets canceled.
I'm the reason why it's unsuccessful. At least if you're an unpopular news anchor, in my opinion, you could be like, you could have like liberal thoughts in a very conservative place, and that's why you're unpopular.
Yeah.
That would probably be me. Nobody needs to be subjected to my singing voice.
Mm-mm, no. What's our last question?
Last question. Would you rather ride on a homecoming float that looks like a shoe, or one that has 1,375 Beanie Babies? Maybe actually my husband's cousin had that many Beanie Babies when he was growing up. His bedroom was terrifying.
Yes. Tell me if you were into Beanie Babies.
Nope.
No. Yes?
Never.
No, I had a few of them because they were cute, but it wasn't like, oh my god, I have to go and get the new one because I have to collect them. But no, I did not have a huge collection of them, and just the sheer number of Beanie Babies on this float made me snort while I was listening to the audiobook. Like,
what is it, like 1,300 or something?
Yes, that's too many Beanie Babies.
It's too many.
By a considerable amount.
Yeah, and if you think about it, this was back in the day, so these were still probably fairly expensive. Can you imagine the rich kids?
Limited edition ones stuck on a flipping float.
The Princess Diana bear. That's the one that everyone wants.
That's the one. And it wasn't even exclusive after a while.
Just imagined everybody's like staring at them and the eyes just going wider and wider and wider and going, oh my god. It's like a serial killer's float.
So what's the answer? Let's see.
Shoe or Beanie Babies, it comes down to.
Especially if we're talking about a stiletto shoe, which you can go a myriad directions with that. So shoe, 100%.
Okay. Would you pick a stiletto?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I would go shoe, and I would go with an irregular choice design.
Do you mean like
designer? Have you not got a regular choice in the US?
No.
There's a designer called Irregular Choice, and their shoes are absolutely designed. They're glorious, but they are the most uncomfortable things I've ever had on my feet. But they're just beautiful things. Actually, they remind me of James St. James a little bit in their eclecticism, and the designs are very offbeat. Like, they'll just have random cupcakes stuck to them, and unicorn heels and things like that.
And painted all kinds of crazy things.
Oh, completely. I had a pair of flats with pandas all over them. They were the most uncomfortable shoes in the world ever, but I loved them.
Why don't we have these here? Irregular.
I don't know if you get them anymore.
We need them.
I don't know if you can get them anymore.
We need them because ugly shoes are my favorite things in the entire world.
Oh my god, yeah. There's a Care Bears one. The Care Bears cowboy boots.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, they've got ones with their heels are made of dice, and there's a Dr. Seuss collection if you're into that.
What? Wow, you have opened my eyes wide.
You could only get them in one. Oh my god, the Cat in the Hat boots are amazing. They're terrifying though.
Kind of getting like a Fluvog sort of vibe from some of these.
Fluvogs. Yep. These are wild though.
Yeah.
These Care Bears ones, they're called Care Bears I Like Sleep Molded Heel Boots. So the heel is cut out in the back, and they're $344.99. Sold out as well, so sorry.
Available here.
Missed out.
We've got trainers.
Ooh, I like those fuchsia Oxfords. I need those. Yep. Okay, well, this is what I'm doing after we're done recording today.
Yeah, I guess this is, you're hearing us go down a rabbit hole live.
Yeah. So, yes, my float will look like an irregular choice
Ooh,
shoe.
Me too, 100% now. Now that I know that they exist.
Yeah. I'm not just going to do stiletto. I've got to do a regular choice.
So a regular choice. If you want to sponsor Fictional Hangover Podcast, we would welcome this.
Yes, we would. Yes, we would. Okay, so that's the end of our freak show, would you rather questions.
On a shoe.
On
it should It shouldn't end in any other way.
No, it really
Fabulous
shouldn't.
Shoes. So
that was amazing. But now we have... We have some other ones because, you know, of Dawn Kurtigich, and she's
you
a star.
You bear some responsibility in this.
Yeah, she's a star of our show, so it's probably mostly your fault.
Yeah.
I listened to The Dead House before I read the book. So that puts it solely on your shoulders.
I accept it. I take that challenge. Yeah, no, that was my whole thing, was trying to scare everybody who could not be scared.
It's still, to this day, the only audiobook that I've ever been frightened of. Only one.
That's one.
When Caitlin is having one of her sessions, the one where she laughs for no reason.
Yes.
I was driving in the pitch black darkness, and that chapter was like, the curviest, darkest, most frightening road. And I was like, well, fuck. Then I got to my house after that and I called my sister. I was like, you have to talk to me right now because I'm walking into a pitch black dark house and I just listened to a girl laugh for 5 minutes straight and help.
Well, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that it absolutely, it sounds like it paralyzed you, which is perfect. Yeah, that was a scary scene. I remember being in the studio with Charlotte when we did that, and she just got into the zone. You know, like the Kubrick zone where he's like, "Here's Johnny," and he keeps, you know, hammering into the door. Apparently, Kubrick keeps rolling, and you just see that energy just continue with Nicholson. It was the same with Charlotte Perry. She just got into it and just stayed there. And just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. It was extraordinary to
it
be there.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And then when Nada cuts her tongue out, I'm washing the dishes, and this is like where I've requested compensation for a dish because I was washing dishes and I dropped, I think it was like a salad plate.
Oh, okay.
So. You owe me one salad. I
did ask for compensation on that. I need more details. I need more details.
Do you have a receipt?
I don't. But I will you know, $3, $4 for...
All right. So Bed Bath, one salad plate. We're talking.
Yes, one. Just one.
You see, I think you should have held out for more of that because you've also got emotional damage as well. And trauma.
No, because I loved it. I loved that it happened.
I'm trying to get you a job here, Amanda. Shut up.
No.
You're lawyers.
I'll just take the one $3 plate.
That's so thrilling.
Not a small part in Dawn's next audiobook.
Well, I mean, I would pay for that.
It kind of counts each other off, doesn't it?
Yes, I will pay you $3. Only $3.
You're down $3 now.
It's fine. It's worth it. Yikes. So, getting at with that really long, terrible segue was that we have some Would You Rather questions that we've asked Dawn when she's been on the show before about her books. So we thought we would torture you with those as well.
That's perfect. Torture away.
Okay.
What's your favorite?
Ooh, I don't know. Eating a person, would you rather eat a person or have sex with your half-sibling?
That's, oh, this is my favorite.
That's Teeth in the Mist, so.
That is Teeth in the Mist. Those are some regrettable conversations, yeah. But my answer is 100% cannibalism, because my husband actually knows that I have a tendency toward
cannibalism.
Maybe cannibalism is an option someday if I need to bring it out. Like, he's got a very developed muscle in his hand that I think looks like something that I would go for if I got desperate and needed something to eat, you know, in a sort of end time situation. Yeah, so good. He knows I have.
I'm glad you're already picking out the spots.
Oh yeah, I have the spot. It's just this little weird spot next to his thumb that's really plump, delicious. Looks like it might
take
it? You know, a soy ginger marinade very well. That kind of thing. I don't know.
Wow, you've even picked out the marinade.
It's good.
Yeah. So cannibalism, 100%. Sex with siblings.
No thanks.
That would be end times. That would be real end times.
That would bring upon the hand eating.
It might. Yeah. That might
be a post-apocalypse for that to happen. Really.
I think so.
I'm like, probably in both situations. Really, I'm not going to do either one voluntarily.
No.
Well, no. Have to be books coming out.
But I have to know the answer from you. I apologize that you probably had this answer on previous shows, but you
I think we went the same, didn't we? We both said cannibalism. As much as we love our siblings, I love my brother. No.
Yeah. Oh.
The half sibling though? So maybe
even then. It's too close. It's too nasty. It's just nasty.
Ooh. I mean, maybe if you didn't know.
Even beforehand. Then, it's still nasty.
I've thought about that with the DNA tests now. I wonder if there are people who find out that they've been having sex with their siblings.
There have been. Apparently, it's a psychological thing where you have this kind of, when you grow up as a sibling, you have that like sibling connection. And they kind of half mistake that sibling connection for another type of love, and they consummate it.
Oh, see, that's true horror right there.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know what happens when you go and register to be married, but when I went to the registry office to do it, we have to post the banns 30 days beforehand, and one of the questions you asked is, are you cousins? And I remember sitting there going, no.
Oh, they
actually question. Yeah, you get. We were asked that, and actually hesitating, going, "We're not, are we? And we're not. We're really, really not. In no way, shape, or form are we cousins."
Right.
But you know, when you're not expecting to be asked that question, and it makes you pause for a second. And
yeah. Wow.
Yeah, we get asked that when we put post our bands. Are you actually first cousins?
They should ask that. But they really should.
It depends on the laws, I think, because. You know, it used to be legal to marry your first cousin, like years and years ago. And you can technically marry a cousin, but after it's removed a certain point.
Right.
And it's to check them, make sure you're not first cousins.
Oh, man.
I did not recall, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was a question on ours, because, I mean, we're from Arkansas.
You have a history. My friend did do her genealogy. Well, her mother-in-law did the genealogy for her side of the family, and did my friend's side of the family, and found out that she's the cousin's 16 times removed. So you're talking back to the 1500s or something ridiculous like that.
I don't know that counts.
It doesn't count. It's fine. But I did say to my friend Fiona, it does explain the webbed feet, because her side of the family does have a history of webbed feet. Wow. It could be that they're from the Shetland Islands as well, but you know, webs.
Yikes.
Wait, but webbed feet, so does that mean that the webbing is actually really high up on the toe or something?
It's just in between. It's very negligible.
Okay. Yeah, because I figured we all sort of have some sort of webbing, right?
Yeah. It's just a bit more pronounced. She can't swim.
She's not like a lizard person or something.
Swims a lot.
Mine in between these two is higher than average.
Oh, yeah, it is. Isn't that funny?
I guess I need to talk to my parents.
Speaking of cousins. Any...
Wait a minute. Wait. I do have to throw in that I have a cousin who's my cousin on both sides of the family.
What? Whoa.
Yeah.
First cousin.
First on one side, second on the other.
Whoa.
I can't work that out.
Yeah.
Is the reason just Arkansas?
Yeah. My dad's brother has a child with my mom's niece.
Whoa.
That's bloody not related enough for it to be technically okay.
I mean, they're not related to each other. It's just that he's my cousin on both sides.
Yeah. Right.
So it if I got involved, that would be bad.
You see siblings, don't you? You'll see two brothers will marry two sisters.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's just when their children start intermarrying, that's when it gets bad.
Yeah, that's when you get the bunny rabbit issue.
Yes.
Okay, anyway, can we move on from weird genetics? This is freaking me out.
Pick another question.
ooh, while you're sleeping, would you rather put a rock under someone's pillow or write an innocuous note in the back of someone's journal? And that's from The Dead House.
Yes. And I love the innocuous note in a journal. I think that's the best way to creep somebody out. It would be so creepy, right?
When they eventually find it, you don't know when they'll find it.
Yeah.
No,
and it's got to be something awful that you write back there.
I would probably write a really shitty joke, if I'm honest.
I would just draw a picture of a cat. That's all I got.
I like to go for confusion, so I would go with rock. I like to confuse people more than anything else.
Yeah, and I think we both went rock in this episode.
How big is the rock, though?
Big enough to know it's there.
The kind where you wake up and you're like, there's a rock under my, what? And you start evaluating your life choices.
That's true. You would.
Yeah. Let's see.
Great.
Okay. This one is a combination of The Dead House and The Trees Crept In. Would you rather be eerily watched from the other side of a mirror by the sad, wet girl ghost, or eerily watched from the dark, dark corner by the creeper man?
Ooh, I love this question. And I go with sad, wet girl ghost. Because I think at least I could strike an affinity with her if I needed to. Whereas creeper man, like very much like the Babadook, I don't think I can reason with a creature like that. I don't, there's nothing we have in common. So no, girl ghost all the way.
The creeper man is non-negotiable.
They were both kind of protectors, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the...
But it said his name. Creeper. Creep.
Well, yeah.
Not nice.
Yeah. Just because of the recent cosplay as being the sad, wet girl ghost, I have to choose her. Just because I have been her.
You've been her. Yeah.
I've been her. I know her. I've puked out enough black goo for a lifetime.
Black goo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cocoa powder, powdered sugar, a little bit of water, and food coloring makes a great black mouth ooze. You need to try it out.
So then you just have it sort of running down your face?
Yeah, just fill up your mouth and go...
Mm-hmm. Sorry, can you do that again while I take a picture? Thank you.
Welcome. That was, conveniently enough for everyone listening, my first TikTok vomiting up the black goo.
I have to go see it now.
It was a good time.
Oh, dear me.
Yep.
Impressive.
I do like the creeper man too, though. It's pretty great.
Well, I have my own kind of sense of who he is, what he looks like. So he's very imposing and scary in my imagination. And I can't. I can't strike up a relationship with something that imposing, that terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like he's spindly. Is he spindly for you? He's spindly for me.
It's a little bit Slender Man in my head. It's like Slender Man. Not full Slender Man, but very. Yeah.
Yeah, Slender Man and Babadook together, I think, for me, is Slender Man. That's who he was for me.
Because he's got to have a hat.
Mm-hmm.
The hat is necessary.
But the long, you know, the long.
Yeah.
Super scary.
But now I'm also thinking about Mr. Jitters. But
that's what I was thinking.
You haven't been involved with Mr. Jitters. Do you know Mr. Jitters from Harrow Lake by Kat Ellis?
No, I haven't read Harrow Lake, and I need to because I know Dawn is really into.
Yeah, that's why we picked that one up, and they were both on our Halloween episode last Halloween because of it.
Amazing. Okay, I'm gonna.
And
read
then
it
I next. Dressed up as Mr. Jitters because, of course, I did.
It was like a very malevolent Jack Skellington without any definition on the face.
Yeah.
Like, if you think of Jack Skellington with just looking slightly off camera, no definition apart from eyes and mouth and slight nose. And you're just kind of like, that's not right. It's disconcerting because you know the features should be there. There should be expression there, but there's none. So you're like, I'm a bit uncomfortable with that.
Oh, yeah. That sounds terrifying.
That was a fun one. I liked being Mr. Jitters.
The scary ones are
my most favorite. I don't like being beautiful. I like being terrifying. I prefer it.
Absolutely. Bullet hole right here, oozing.
Yeah. And that's kind of like the arrow from Clown in the Cornfield. Mm-hmm. It was grotesque. And I loved it.
You don't have women and children going.
If you don't make a dog whimper and a little child cry, are you doing it right?
No, you're not.
That's right.
Did you want to do any more Dawn Would You Rathers, or are you happy covering the three books?
I think I do want to ask, would you rather be trapped in the Dead House or in La Baume? Because those are both creepy fucking places to be trapped.
For sure. I felt that La Baume was a little more homey. I don't know. Dead House terrified me in a way that I kind of was nihilistic. It just felt like there was no hope there. Mm-hmm. Whereas La Baume felt, I don't know, a little bit more, I just want to say homey. Yeah, there was food available at some point. There was food.
Yeah. A delicious worm cake.
Yes, exactly. If I have to eat a worm cake, I'm going to eat it at La Baume. Yeah, Dead House just absolutely terrified me.
Especially because there were the points where it like morphed around her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's running down hallways and they become something else entirely.
Going
in the other direction.
And also because it's her own head.
Which
is also terrifying. But La Baume, I feel like, is real.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a snake in the toilet.
Right.
It's fine. There's a snake in a toilet and a worm in your cake.
Do you not think that's why it's scary? You know, if you watch like these haunted programs and they go somewhere like a prison or an asylum, and it's like you're not used to that kind of environment, so it's not as scary to watch that kind of thing. But if you're in a domestic place and somebody's actual living space, somebody's residence, and it's got their knickknacks and belongings, and you can see the bum groove in the seat, you know somebody, that is somebody's home, and then the creepy shit starts happening, it's kind of like extra creepy because it shouldn't be there. It is a very foreign entity in a very comfortable setting, whereas in somewhere like the Dead House, which is slightly different,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like this asylum kind of setting, you expect the creep. So that's why La Baume is scary for me, because it's a known factor that's wrong.
That's true. Very true.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And then you've got the creakiness happening, and you don't know if it's someone coming down the stairs or if it's your aunt hanging herself to death.
Exactly! And I'm too scared to go and check.
Oh my god.
Love it. Now I need to go back. I haven't read And the Trees Crept In a little while. And by read, I of course mean listen to it. I haven't read it in a while.
Oh, I listened to it in October. I had to. I did the double feature.
I need to listen to it again. I just love it so much. Especially, like, this is going to get into some other stuff later, other questions, but just, like, the way the audio is produced, it's astounding. Like, anytime I tell people about these books, I'm like, you just have to listen to them because they're literally perfection. Every single book. I'm pretty sure, Claire, I told you that. Like, read the book, it's great, but you have to listen to the audiobook because yikes.
I think it went something along the lines of, I can't actually get them, so you have to listen to it. And then I was like, okay. And then I freaked out. And then I remember texting you at stupid o'clock in the morning going, why did you do this to me? Why? Why?
Because
friends don't do this to friends. But then actually I realised, yeah, friends do that to friends.
Yes. Yes. Because it's just so good.
Thank you.
I don't have words
for
how well these books are produced. We listen to 95% of the books that we cover on the podcast. So I like to think that we're pretty good judges of quality audiobooks.
Yeah. We've always listened to audiobooks as well, even before.
Right. Like, of course. But now, we make it a point.
Amanda started the podcast a year before I joined. And then she was like, you do listen to audiobooks, don't you? I was like, yeah. Uh-huh. Idiot.
Duh.
I think I might have called you a plonker or something like that.
I think you did. That's before you started going easy on me with the Britishisms.
Right. Plonker. I don't even... What? Daft. What does that even mean?
You're daft.
Oh, got it.
Plonker.
See, then she didn't even... She still went daft. She still went Britishism. And that's why I love her.
So Americans love that stuff. We don't know what you're talking about, but we love it.
Yeah. the Americans I've met, they just kind of listen and go, yeah.
Just, yeah, sure.
What's a Yorkshire pudding?
A pud, yes.
Your gravy is not like my gravy is usually what we end up saying.
No, definitely. We can't go down, Claire. We cannot go down.
I'm not going down the food route.
We can't. We will never ever let her go if we did that. It would.
Can I ask for more Laffy Taffy though? I've eaten all the Laffy Taffy you've sent me.
Yes, I will send you more Laffy Taffy.
Yeah, Laffy Taffy. Delicious.
What's your favorite flavor of Laffy Taffy?
Don't say banana.
Don't say banana.
No, that stuff is horrible. I don't eat banana any candy except Runts. I love Runts, banana Runts. But I don't know. Gosh.
You wouldn't get a candy called Runts in this country.
No.
Is that offensive?
But it's like Runt of the Litter.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same thing.
You wouldn't. They try to call the candy bar Jizz over here once. But in the South, you'll know it the same way that I know it. And in the South, they didn't realise. And it wasn't until I went to a marketing testing group and somebody went, you do know what that means.
No.
What, jizz bar? Yeah.
Stop. No.
They changed it to fuse bar. It was crap.
Was it crap?
Product
it
name.
Was horrible.
If,
It was naff.
Yikes.
Can we move on, please? I'm going to snort.
Don't worry. I've done it enough for both of us already. It just happened.
Oh, dang.
So,
can we get into more technical questions?
Yes.
I'm so happy, though, that these scared you so badly because it makes me feel better about having scared my post-production guy, Gabino Reyes. He was scared so badly on Dead House that he had nightmares.
Really?
Good.
Absolutely. And the poor boy, he actually likes nonfiction. And I give him all of his, you know, John Pertigage horror, you know, siblings eating each other and, you know, people cutting their tongues off. Just...
With a very unhygienic knife. Can we establish that, please?
Action history book or something? Just, you know, anything.
Can we do a nice biography?
Oh, man, I've tortured him to death. But he's the best. And obviously, he's the only one that I will allow to make these books as scary as they need to be.
Well, that's, I mean, if he's reacting to these, then you're obviously doing it right. And, you know, so is the narrator. And if he's getting freaked out, you're on the right track.
Yes.
Sorry, your test subject.
Exactly.
Please sign this waiver.
I'm not responsible.
Which one of Dawn's books is your favorite?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think I had a personal connection to And the Trees Crept In, which is called Creeper Man in the UK, I believe.
I have both copies. It's fine.
Ooh, me too.
Yeah, I had a connection to that one. Just, I think it was being in the studio with Polly. And, you know, usually we have more than one narrator on these books. So just being there with Polly the whole time, I think made it a more insular experience than the other two. The other two were terrific products, of course, but I think I just had a connection with her that I didn't have with some of the other productions.
So that one's so good because, like, it's terrifying, but then at the same time, you just kind of want to cry a little bit, especially when, you know, you've started out reading it, and then there's the one chapter with the old man dying, and you're like, what is this? This doesn't have anything to do with anything. And then you get to the end, and you're like, oh
my God,
it's coming back for her. And then you love it. And then you eat a worm cake.
And you eat a worm cake, and then it's all better again.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Especially the broken book entries with just the way, like, the whispering is overlaid on top of the audio. It's just, like, it's so good. It's so good. Again, here
I don't
am
like
with
it.
Me.
It's great. No. I hated it. It's brilliant. I felt deeply uncomfortable. I said to Dawn, the way that the audiobooks are done, because of her writing and because of the way the audiobooks have been produced, when I finish listening to them, it's like an itch in the back of my neck, in my skull.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think about it again, that itch comes back, and I'm like, I don't like that. And it's like this really uncomfortable thing I can't get rid of, and it's kind of inside my brain.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it comes out worse, I think, actually, with the whispering sections and the creaks.
No, the creak is so good.
I don't like the creaks. I love the creaks. I don't like the creaks.
I love it.
No, they're really creepy. Yes, the detail that I wanted to tell you about Polly doing the Creeper Man's voice. I had her do that Creeper Man voice as low as she could in the studio. And then I had Gabino pitch her way, way, way down. So that is Polly's voice.
Ooh.
Doing the what is the rhyme that she does, the children's rhyme? I can't think of it now. It's been years. Yeah, but anyway. He does that rhyme in the Creeper Man's voice.
Oh, God.
Really scary.
All children's rhymes done in creepy voices are extra creepy, but that the way she did it, no. Right. You can put that in the fucking book that I did not like. There was actually so much about it that I hated, but I didn't hate it. I didn't like how uncomfortable it made me feel.
It physically made you.
Exactly. And then that's why I loved it so much, because it's so well done that being uncomfortable is the whole point. And it's so insular. Like, when we're talking to Donna, we're saying that all of her books are very lone house, very few characters, and it's all very insular, and it's very cerebral. It's very inside your head, inside their head.
Yeah.
And you can't get out. And you get stuck in there. And it's the same with the audio. It's done in such a way that you can feel that oppressive nature. And for it to actually be translated from the page into an art form is spectacular. Like, how do you get them? Like, how does the narrator do that? And how do you get them to do that? And how do you come up with that concept? Like,
that is the hardest thing, I think, at first, is getting that manuscript from Dawn and going, Dawn, what are you asking me to do now? It's so crazy, the swirly words going around and around and things, you know, falling off the page or melting off the page. Yeah, I just have to pull out all the stops, and Gabino and I will talk about what's possible in audio. But most of it's just me going, how does this sound to me in my imagination? And so, for instance, the broken book pages, the broken book entries where they're whispering and kind of swirling. When I realized that the bold words were actually their own message, you have to do the message, right? Yeah. You have to, but how? And I thought, you know, if I had somebody whispering to me the message, it's like a subconscious, you're hearing the message over and over, mm-hmm. but you're not hearing it.
Yeah.
Not really there. So
good. Is that like, would you say the biggest challenge of being a producer then is to take what you see, these swirly words and bold texts, and make it into an audible format?
Yeah, I would. Well, for Dawn's books specifically, yes. But I think as a producer, I think the most challenging thing is to cast the book properly. If you've got the right talent, like Charlotte Perry was absolutely the right talent for The Dead House. And what she pulled off in that book with all of those characters, including Lansing, I listened just recently just to kind of refamiliarize myself with the recording. Her Lansing is so, so good. And her emotional scenes have such depth. And if you don't have the right talent, it doesn't matter what you want to do with the audio. You're essentially shining a turd, is what they say, right? So if you don't have the right narrator, it doesn't matter.
So did she just fall into place then as that particular character? You know, you're reading it and you're just like, and then you hear the voice and that's it. I do not need to go any further. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. With Charlotte, I heard her audition and I thought, you know what? It doesn't even matter what she can do with all the rest of the characters. She has Caitlin down. She has, you know, oh God, forgive me. Who's the other one? Caitlin and?
Carly,
thank you.
Do you recall what her audition scene was?
Gosh, I don't know. I would have to look back and see. I have that audition somewhere.
Yeah.
I want to hear it. It's probably just, I mean, we give them sides. So a couple of pages from the book.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them to just have at it and see what they come up with. And Charlotte's was by far the best. She sounded authentic as a younger sounding voice.
Mm-hmm.
She just understood what she was going to need to do to differentiate these two voices, even though they're actually most
same vocal chords.
Wondering, are they two people? Or are they just this one person? So she understood what she needed to do to make these people real.
And they sounded so different.
She almost seemed like an ensemble, didn't she? Like, I think that's what we mentioned as well. Like, her Nada, her Lansing, her Caitlin. You know, everybody's so very distinct. It's almost like it's not one person. It's like a cast. It's almost like when we talked about January Lavoie. And she's like
three people in a trench coat.
She is. January Lavoie. My God, she is a talent. If you're ever lucky enough to have her on a book, I mean, as a producer, she's definitely one of those, you know.
She was like one of the coups of 2020. She was a guest on last year.
Yeah, she was our first audiobook narrator.
Yeah.
And I was dying for her to come on the entire time. And now, like, the only person that I have left on my Amanda Will Die wish list, because two are gone now. It's Steve West.
Ta-da, Steve West.
I honestly think we might have scared him off though with that Twitter conversation.
We really did, but I mean,
it was complimentary.
Of course it was.
In the creepiest way possible.
I still think we need royalties on his app though.
We really do. It was totally our idea.
Steve West talks you to sleep.
Yes.
You listen to the book. What is it, the science of sleep, or how we sleep, or something like that? It's a book about sleeping narrated by Steve West.
Oh my God. No, I haven't listened to that, but we're like, he's on one of the sleeping apps.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was totally our idea, man. That's really totally was. Our idea.
We've got the receipts. I'm sure the first time when we were talking about audiobook narrators, because obviously when we came and started talking about audiobook narrators, we had a list, and it has since vastly extended. And we were talking, and I'm sure Amanda said, "Oh, you should hear Steve West. Have you heard Steve West?" I went, "Oh, I don't think I have." "Oh, his voice is made of dreams." So, okay. Yep. And then I can't remember what the heck we were listening to, but I had Steve West in, and I was like, "Oh, clouds and fluffiness. This is beautiful."
Was Teeth in the Mist the first Steve West that you listened to?
It probably
Claire?
Was, but he wasn't in it for enough for my liking.
Right.
But yes.
But he was in it just enough for me to go, "Oh my God, just it's
enough
Steve
for,
West.
Just enough for a tease. It was a gentle tease. What we listened to something and you didn't realize Steve West was in, and I remember getting a text message going,
Fireborn, yes. Rosaria Munda. I mean, Christian Coulson was in that one, so I was automatically like, "Oh my God, it's Christian Coulson!" And then I was like, "Oh my God, it's Steve West."
We have and to start off every conversation with, "We're gonna fangirl. It's gonna happen."
And Christian Coulson, yeah, that's a really good combo. You know,
so
I
have you met them in real life? You will have met them in real life. Do their voices properly match up? Because I mean, I've seen pictures, but do pictures justify them? Because I'm thinking, you know, like, you know, when you talk to the IT guy, and then you finally see the IT guy, you're, "Oh no, no. Oh dang."
Those two happen to be excellent examples of voices matching with beautiful faces. Just two of them, yeah. And Steve West, he is classically British handsome.
Yeah.
And just the nicest man I think you will ever meet. He doesn't have a single snotty bone in his body. He'll have a conversation with you no matter who you are. He stood and had a conversation with me in a bar in LA for an absurd amount of time. He should have excused himself, you know, at least 10 minutes before he did.
Unfortunately, you'd super glued him to the spot and wouldn't let him leave.
Yeah.
Sweet man. Has there ever been anybody you've met, only heard the voice of, and you've finally met and gone, "That doesn't match. You should be 2'8" and you're not, you're 6'7" and I don't know. The voices and the faces don't.
That's so funny. I haven't met any in the audio industry, but I see them on TV all the time. My husband and I will turn to each other like, "Wait a minute, that's not the voice that I thought was going to come out of that face."
Yeah.
So I haven't met any in my industry, no.
I call it doing a Freddie Mercury. You don't expect that voice coming out of that face.
Definitely not, right? No. But I can't think of anybody who's really surprised me. Mm-mm.
Cool. No IT guys, that's fine.
No. Everybody seems to match up pretty well. Now you got me thinking, and No, I don't think.
So tell us, like, just what your job is like, just day to day, minus, you know, Christian Coulson and Steve West and Charlotte Perry. What's it like?
Right. That's the glamorous part. The Christian Coulson, you know, sort of amazing Harry Potter moments.
Yes. Oh my
God. Those are the glamour moments, and those are few and far between, believe it or not. Most of my day is adapting scripts, making sure that, you know, if it says, look at page 192, you say, you'll want to listen to chapter whatever, where we talk about this. So you make it work for audio, but that's essentially what I'm doing all day is adapting scripts, writing up contracts. There's a lot of paperwork involved, which is surprising.
Do you get to spend a lot of the time, well, pre-pandemic, really, do you get to spend a lot of time in the booths with the engineers and the actual production staff and stand there and go, "Ha ha, you need to do this, I'm the boss."
You would not believe how much time is actually just spent on email. And I know you want me to say that I live in the studio, but that is the glamour. So when you do actually direct a book, it is 4 or 5 days in the studio all day long. And that's wonderful. And it's life affirming when you get to do that. But most of my day is answering emails from agents and print editors and, you know, getting pronunciations from actors. Ooh. So, you know, they'll come up with a list that's 4 pages long of, you know, names and terms and places that they don't know or that they don't want to research necessarily. And we go to the office and beg them for help.
So you get to answer those questions when they come to you, like, what is this name supposed to be? What is this?
Right. Yeah, I will look up some of those names. I will also get with the author to see if sometimes they have an expertise. For example, Dawn was able to give me all of the Welsh. That was really fun. So she would record that on her phone and send me a little audio. And then we would play that in the studio to make sure we had Pentwyll, I think, right? Welsh is the weirdest language.
I can only say one word in Welsh.
And it is?
That's a big place name in Anglesey. That's all I know.
That's one word?
Yes.
Too many letters.
It's 52, something like that. It's a place name in Anglesey. It means something about a whirlpool and goodness knows what else. I was given a cassette tape when I was 8 years old by my mother's cousin who ran a hotel in Llanudno. I was the youngest person in the hotel. I tell you a lot. And I'd listened to it for an entire week and learned how to say that word. That's it.
Wow.
That's so good.
That's
the literally the only word. I get excited when I go to Wales and I see all the street signs that I've got weird names and things and take pictures.
Now I want to learn.
Yeah, it's very Gaelic, right?
Yeah, like they're quite. It's the same with like Irish and Scottish. When you get to them, they're kind of like, I say guttural. There's a lot of back of the throat.
Yes.
To yeah. it. There's a lot of double L's in Welsh.
Yeah.
I'm useless at languages, though, so I'm sorry.
I can still hear Dawn saying Pantwyll, and it's this thing where you flatten out your tongue. She said you have to flatten out your tongue on the sides. Pantwyll.
Yeah.
But it's two L's. And Americans, there's no way an American would look at the word and go, okay, that's wish.
Well, that's exactly how you say that word. I don't know what you're talking
about. To be fair, it's like any language. You know, you learn the tricks of, like, Jesus doesn't, you don't pronounce the J, and, you know, you've got to learn the tricks.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the girls I know, she's German, and it's German and Welsh sounded very similar to me when she was talking. It's not. But it's I've got, like I say, no ear for languages, and it sounded very, very similar, and it's quite, when you say the words back, because I did teach for a little while English to speakers of other languages, and they all try to teach me their language. So I had somebody trying to teach me Russian, and somebody trying to teach me French, and somebody trying to teach me German, and like I say, I'm rubbish, and trying to say the words, and they're saying, this is the little trick for these when you see these two letters together, and this is like, it's like going ch and th when you're learning how to speak, and once you've got those down, you're fine. But yeah,
double right, L's yeah, everywhere. The mouth moves in certain languages. Yeah I think that's a fun part for me is pronunciations. Most producers I think would tell you that that's one of their least favorite parts of the process, is learning how to pronounce all these words. But I always find it kind of interesting, especially if you've got someone who's, I don't know, from a certain part of the world or a certain part of the US, and they know how a certain town is pronounced, or, you know, how does a character pronounce this crazy, the name of their dog in this chapter? And it's just something really specific to them. So that's, I think that's always really fun.
It's good for fans as well.
Yeah. And like for an example, last year in 2020, I did City We Became with Robin Miles. And she had to put on, I don't know, 20 characters, I feel like. Yeah, and she had to know some indigenous languages, and she had to do quite a bit of research for this. Hats off to her. She, I mean, incredible work. And a lot of narrators now know that they're kind of expected to come through with their pronunciations and research, and it can be daunting what they end up having to do.
Yeah. And as a listener, if something is said wrong in a book, it grates, it jars, and you're like, no, that's not how it's supposed to be pronounced. Please re-record this entirety because of this one mistake. And it's possible, you know, it's just down to human error. But also I think now, I don't know about you, but you've got to be very aware that if you're going to do accent from some culture that you are not part of, you need to respect that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And as a producer, sometimes you have to make those choices because you might not always have the luxury of having a narrator who is from that culture or can at least imitate it properly. And so you have to make these choices of whether or not to go full accent or to pull back and just go just a hint of one. You do have to make those choices. And sometimes they're scary. You just don't know if you've made the right choice until the book comes out and people are skewering you on the reviews.
Don't read the comments.
But if she didn't read the comments, then she wouldn't be here with us.
Only read our comments.
Oh God, I love you too.
It's caveata. If I'm, we only say nice things when we tag people.
We try, if we're going to talk about a book and we're going to talk, like, if we're going to focus on the audiobook, you know, we mention the narrator's names. We try to, you know, bring something to them because I feel like they, you know, you kind of forget about them if they've done it well enough, you know, so you want to kind of throw the spotlight on them a little bit. And now we're doing that with you because who gets to be friends with audiobook producers and who gets to, you know, invite them on their podcast? We do, luckily, but like, it's important, especially with like just the caliber of the books that you've done. Like, I don't know. I'm still blown away by them, especially like, I want to kind of talk about Freak Show a little bit because I mean, that's the episode that we're talking about, but listening to Dawn's books first and you get those qualities of, you know, the different character voices and the different like sorts of musical things going on in the background and all sorts of weird overlays and all of the weird stuff that's happening, you know, you kind of expect it from a horror book. But then when I listen to Freak Show and there's a full classroom of kids going, ew, gross, ew, fag, you're like, oh, and here's the rest of the cast that has come in and it's all just like perfectly done. Like, I feel like they were all there at the same time. And it's probably not true. Were they all there at the same time?
No, wouldn't that be fun though?
Yeah, no. But like, it sounds...
Wasn't Caitlin Kelly one of them as well? She's in Tokyo. Yes. I mean, she's not going to fly you over just to do one line.
This was a few years ago though. Okay, this isn't recently.
This is right before she went to Japan. Yeah, I got her right before she went. It was lucky.
But it's just, especially in Freak Show, they sound like they're all there in the classroom or on the football field or in the gym. And it's just so well done. And I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't expecting it from this book because, you know, if it's scary, yeah, creepy shit's going to be happening in the background. How do you do that with this delightful, manic, crazy freak show that's happening? And there it is. And there's music in the background and there's audio effects that are happening. And you're like, oh, that's how it's done. And it's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. And it's not easy to do those. And I don't do them for every book.
Well, you should. And it's clear that you can do it.
Right.
And that's just, oh.
It adds an element of quality to it, doesn't it? We talked about it before where Dawn Curtic Rich is not given the credit she is due as an author. Like, yeah. I have never, unfortunately, seen her books in a UK bookshop. Yeah.
Really?
I haven't been at every single one, but right. In the few I have local access to, they have never been on the shelves. I have told the assistants, get them on the shelf. In quite aggressive terms once. And it is an attempt. I can't get the audiobooks over here.
I do know that there is an issue with Audible and our in the UK.
Yeah, there's all sorts of licensing, but that's all legal stuff. Yeah. That's not for here. What I was saying to Amanda before was, because she's not a big mainstream author, she's not. She's hidden in the background, being all creepy and weird, and then peeking out and throwing some monster at you and making you feel deathly uncomfortable, and then hiding away again.
Right. Like
the lovely, creepy woman she is. When you get the audiobook, you don't expect that level of quality. You just kind of think it's just going to be somebody reading it because they're getting a job. Yay. And then you listen to it and then you freak the shit out because you're being whispered to and yes. click-clacked and creaked and all of this stuff's happening. Oh, no, I don't like it. All this stuff's happening. It's like you've taken the audiobook and just thrown extra at it and just kept throwing extra at it and saying, yeah, this is all going to stick. This is fine. And made it something elevated. And it's just, it's phenomenal. And yes, Amanda is right. This needs to happen to more audiobooks. Like, this kind of care and attention needs to happen. And there isn't a question in there. I'm just saying, I love you. I love your work. Keep doing it.
Thank you.
Because, gosh. Thank you. You know, when it comes to what should we do? Oh, Lisa's done the audiobook on that one.
Okay, yeah. Done.
You know when you go and see a movie and you're like, you're not bothered for the actors, but the director will sell you the book. It will sell you the, you know, Taiki Waititi, what is one of them. If he is the director, I'm there.
Right.
It's like, I don't need to know the book now. If your name's attached to it, I will just listen to it.
Yeah, 100%.
You're an A-list producer for us, so
there are no words for that. Like, this is my producer soul is just I'm in my element right now.
It's one of the things that we want to achieve is to realize that audiobooks are a wonderful book, way to consume a book. So listen to an audiobook. Don't dismiss it. And also, there's other people and talent behind it. This is why we love talking to audiobook narrators, because it. They get the chance to say, look at me, I'm here. Right. I didn't write the words, but I'm here. Right, I'm bringing something to the party, and you are as well.
Ah, thank you. That means a lot. It's true, though. I don't think anybody really thinks about the fact that an audiobook has to be produced and what that even means. I highly doubt anybody even knows what an audiobook producer does. There's no way I would have known.
Admin.
So now you just need to tell everyone. But, I mean, you already did with paperwork, but you need to tell
everyone. Yeah, it's a lot of paperwork. Not glamorous, but the glamorous
you
stuff.
You make it glamorous.
You do. Oh, my God. We'll get to the fashion in a little bit.
Yes. But thank you. That means a lot. And it means a lot to me that all the work that does go into these specific titles that we do sound design for is paying off. I can't tell you because I put out the product that I want to hear. And so I'm always hoping that there's an audience that also wants to hear what I dig. I really love sound. I really love sound effects. I love being able to, like you said, elevate the story. And I spend a little extra money sometimes on these.
Money well spent. And you have at least two fans here who are guaranteed. And we will no doubt tell every single listen that we have in our little podcast.
Thank you.
All about it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm going to stop fangirling now and actually ask you a proper question. How did you become an audiobook producer? Like, did you just wander in one day and go, I'm going to do that?
No, definitely not. Let's see. Way back, I would say, 2006, I was an assistant editor at Dutton Children's Books at Penguin. And I was really terrible as an editor. Really terrible. I'm not trying to be generous. I was a garbage editor, and it's just not something I do well. I'm not a storyteller in a traditional sense. So don't ask me to help you write your book. That's not how I'm going to be able to help you. But I have always been a fan of audio and sound, always, since I was very little. And I thought, you know what? There is this up and coming format. At the time, it was just, they call it books on tape. Everybody calls it books on tape. People mm-hmm. still call it books on tape.
Yeah.
So I listened to an audio book of a book that I was not able to tackle. It was like a 500 page, I think it's Marcus Zusak. I don't know if I'm saying that name right, but The Book Thief.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that book is basically, I would use it as a paperweight or to keep a closet door open or something like that. It's a mm-hmm. huge, and as someone who's a bit of a reluctant reader, I simply could not even begin the book, the physical book. So I started listening to the audio, which is Alan Corduner, just one of the best narrators of all time, this man. He was in Teeth in the Mist, and it was my dream to work with him. But he changed my entire thinking about books when I heard him read me The Book Thief. And I just thought that was my aha moment. I was listening to The Book Thief, and I realized this is a medium that I can do. This is a way to tell a story to someone who may not be able to read, may not like reading, but they can fall in love with a book through an audio. And yes. So, yeah, ever since then, I was very unceremoniously excused from my assistant editor position, and that was fine. And 10 years later, it took me about a decade to get into the industry, because it's a very, very small industry and there are only a few positions available. So when I had the chance, shout out to Dan Zitt from Penguin Random House, who basically had an informational interview with me and told every single one of his colleagues that there's this girl who's desperate. She won't leave me alone until we hire her somehow. So please, somebody hire her. So
okay,
that's what happened.
So what I'm hearing is that being desperate helps.
Yes.
That's the advice you got off Kate Rudd as well, wasn't it?
It is. Yeah, that is what I got off of Kate Rudd too. Like, don't stop. Just go there and stand in front of them until they let you do whatever you want to do.
Persistence.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. You cannot give up, and you can't care what they think.
Yeah. Let's see. What's another question that we actually sent you that we want to ask you? Oh, no, mine. I want to know, we talked about it a little bit ago in my ear crush on Steve West.
You were subtle about it, don't worry.
Right? No. No, yikes. Who, do you have an ear crush on anyone?
Oh, God, this question. I was thinking really hard. I think Steve West is one of the really good ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's an actress from Candyman. What's her name?
You had to say that because that's my favorite horror movie, and I know her name. Virginia Madsen?
Yes, thank you. I love her voice. She has one of the best voices. I don't know why she doesn't do audiobooks. She's on my list of somebody I want to get. Beautiful voice. She does a whole monologue in Sideways, and that just drooling. I'm just drooling. She's incredible voice. So yeah, ear crush on Virginia Madsen.
When you're watching movies and you hear these voices, well, you see them and you hear the voices, are you like taking mental notes going, I've got the perfect book for them. I wonder if they'll do an audiobook reading. Now, yes, that's a good one. I need to incorporate.
100%, yeah. I have a list. It's on my phone, list of people I would like to work with. And I'll turn to my husband and say, that person needs to do an audiobook. I wonder if they need work right now.
You go to your list and then just put a tick on and go, yes, tick.
Right?
I turn to my husband when listening or watching movies and things and going, that person narrated this book that I'm, that person is in this book. That person does. And he's like, how do you know that? Like, I don't know. I just
know the voice.
Just know it.
Yeah. Which, so who is somebody that you recently said that about?
I guess it was probably Christian Coulson.
Mm-hmm.
This one probably goes back a little ways. I think when we were talking to Rosaria Munda about it, about her books, I was like, yeah, I saw, you know, Christian Coulson is in your book. And I was like, I remember like watching Chamber of Secrets over and over again for like the millionth time. And I was like, oh my God, is that who that is? Like, that's Tom Marvolo Riddle. There he is right there in book form. And then, you know, the obsession got worse.
And it would. Yeah. I had no idea because I'm not a Harry Potter fan. Which sounds crazy because I might be the only one left.
Oh, but... plus one.
Really? Okay. All right.
I get wrong Claire for it didn't all the even time.
Claire hadn't read it until it was on the podcast, and that I like, read it was last before year. It was in the before Claire before. Times too.
I read it when they did the first season when she did the Sum of Harry Potter, and I thought, okay, I'll do it. I'll read it.
Okay, well, so a fellow non-Harry Potter person will understand this. When I hired Christian, I had no idea that he was young Voldemort. I mean, that's great. So sometimes I wonder if people who are known for something like he is, when they meet somebody, are they expecting somebody to fangirl out? You know, maybe he was expecting me to be like, oh my God, Harry Potter. And because I didn't do that, I wonder if he had a different reaction to me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, he's only in the one movie, and it's not, you know, Ralph Fiennes is Voldemort, if you think. Who's Voldemort? It's Ralph Fiennes. So,
right, exactly.
You know, I feel like it's more special that I'm like, it's Christian Coulson, he's Voldemort. And everyone's like, who? Like, you know, from Chamber of Secrets, you know.
Yeah, super cute. Yeah.
It's got to be nice to be known for yourself and not for a character. I mean, it is nice to be known for a character because especially when it's like, you know, huge fan bases and you can basically play that character for one movie and then that's you hired for life for the convention scene. but it's nice to be known for yourself, your own talents.
Agreed. Yep.
Well, see, now it's like, now I know him more for books than I do.
That's it. He's audio book narrator Chris Coulson for me, not Tom Riddle.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He's wonderful. And it was so much fun when I got to put him and Charlotte in the same booth together for a couple of those scenes.
That was great.
I was listening the other day and I realized, oh yeah, that's the scene where he is the policeman and he's interviewing Lansing. They were in the same booth together. So they got that timing right. You know what
that's
I mean?
Good.
Actors love doing that. Actors love
we spent it. Quite a long time hating on Lansing.
Yeah, Lansing.
When I did the summary for that one, I made sure to, every time he came up, I gave him his full name and full title every single time. Sorry. Detective Chief Inspector Floyd Holmes. It's Detective Chief Inspector Floyd Holmes.
And I don't, this is a little tidbit, but Christian, I made him come back in for pickups for how he said sixth. He said it the British way,
sixth,
right?
Sixth.
But the Americans don't really hear that. We say sixth, we say the X, right? So I think he had about 60 pickups of sixth versus sixth.
I'm saying it in my head now. I'm like, sixth, sixth, sixth.
Yeah. Do you hear that?
You gotta get that out of
six.
There.
Yeah, six. It's six. Yeah, six. It's much more complicated than the six. English way. Sixth, right?
Six.
Anyway,
I'm saying sick in my head now.
Yeah.
And six.
Six.
Six. Six. Okay, that's me done for the night. Thanks for that, you worm. on a different note, when we were reading The Night Circus...
Oh, yes.
I had to stop listening to the audiobook because I wasn't hearing it. It was too soothing. It was too nice. Jim Dale relaxed me. And I'm driving and listening to it and not hearing it properly. I mean, don't get us wrong. I didn't fall asleep at the wheel or anything like that. But it just turned into this lovely, it just relaxed me. That when I stopped, I was like, actually, Amanda, I can't. And Amanda was like, you need to listen because it's Jim Dale. It's amazing. And I have to stop and I have to read the book. I can't listen to it anymore. And I read the book and I realised actually I got 3/4 of the way through the audiobook when I stopped and I didn't realise because this never happened in the audiobook. This didn't happen because his voice was too nice.
That you just didn't hear it anymore.
I just didn't hear it.
Wow.
I zoned out because it was just too nice a voice.
Wow.
It's great, but I love the book. I adore the book.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jim Dale's got a gorgeous voice.
He does, right?
And I just want to just fall asleep to it because it's so relaxing.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's on the same app as Steve West, actually.
Probably.
That's a good question. I mean, who knows at this point who can afford Jim Dale to work on?
No one. My friend falls asleep to the Stephen Fry books. She listens to, he does the British version of the Harry Potter audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
And she puts him on when she can't get to sleep.
That's what I do with the Jim Dale ones and also with Strange the Dreamer and Muse of Nightmares.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
yeah.
She's never listened to Full Philosopher's Stone yet because she falls asleep to it.
I had that issue though when listening to The Night Circus because I like had trained myself to go to sleep listening to Harry Potter. And then I'm like, oh, but no, I need to be focusing on this.
Right.
That's right, because you were doing summary as well.
I need to listen to this.
That's funny.
Audiobooks are just like my happy place, I think.
Mine too. See, you guys are my tribe.
People look at me funny when they say, oh, what you're listening, what music you listen to. I'm like, I'm not. I'm listening to an audiobook.
Yeah.
And they're like, really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't listen to music anymore or even really watch much TV. Like, we have a couple of things that we watch, you know, but it's not just the TV's on in the background. No, it's a book that's on in the background all the time.
Yeah. That is so awesome.
Shall we ask?
Should we talk about something
non-book related? Can we ask, who is your fashion icon?
My fashion icon? Oh my goodness. You know who I really love is Celine Dion because she's insane. She is balls to the wall, fearless. I mean, just check her out on any red carpet anywhere. I'm not even sure she's invited to some of the red carpets she appears on. And she's there and just fearless and fabulous. And yeah, no, I my fashion icons tend to be more kind of 50s. I love Audrey Hepburn. Classic, you know, that classic sort of Grace Kelly princess look, obviously is just sort of, I don't know. But I love the weirdos too. I mean, the ones who have the courage color and shape and, you know, Billy Porter is one of these people that I just can't get enough of. The fringe that he had on the hat that just, it was like curtains parting. That's unbelievable.
Would you wear that hat?
I would. You know what? I'm a huge hat person. But it takes some level of bravery and bravado to wear a hat, don't you think? In the modern world?
I wish that was a thing, that people just wore hats, because I would wear a hat every day.
I love hats.
Right?
I adore hats. There you go.
Beautiful. It has skulls on it.
It's the matching bow tie as well.
Cute. I love that.
That my mother made this.
God, that's so
cute. There you go. That's a hat. I love hats.
Jaunty angle.
Yeah. Oh, you can't wear it straight. No, I mean, you know, I'm not in a boy band.
You're not in an unsuccessful boy band.
No. I adore hats. It's when autumn rolls around and it's just hat season. Yes. 100. Give me the hats.
But yeah. I just want to wear, unironically wear a top hat.
Yeah.
A top hat? Good for you.
Yeah, I would love to do that, but can't.
No. I want a top hat and I want a steampunk bowler hat.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
You need an Ari Haight hat.
Yes, Ari Haight. I was re-listening. I thought, this guy's kind of dreamy. I kind of love him.
Yeah. I love him.
Yeah.
Even though he's a murderer.
Yeah, a little bit.
just a slight
Everybody's
bit of
got their it's faults. Fine. Come on.
Slight
Nobody can be
okay.
perfect.
Yeah, he's, you know, but he seemed to really get her. I don't know.
He did. I mean, he went with full intentions of being with Nada, and then he's like, no. And you see Caitlin in the chapel, and then, you know, his world has changed. Oh, R8. Anyway.
It was really funny to go back and listen to that, because, I mean, I produced that, what, 2015, I want to say? It was a long, long time ago.
Feels like a lifetime.
Yeah.
So good, though.
It was. I have to continue listening. I don't want to just do it for this podcast. I want to finish it now.
You have to finish it now. Now I want to go back and listen to And the Trees Crept In, but I also need to go back and listen to Teeth in the Mist again, which...
I need Teeth in the Mist. I've done Dead House twice within the past few months, and I've done Teeth... The Trees Crept In. I need to do Teeth in the Mist, because it's been over a year since I've listened to that. That might be the next thing after... Stop listening to your current one. Read it instead, because it's better suited as a read, and listen to Teeth.
I need to. I need
There's
to listen
your homework.
To it. I need the devil and the water wheel.
Oh my god, that scene was fun to do. I still remember creating that devil, that Andrew scene. Yeah, and the sound of bones breaking, and yeah, we kind of had that. Throwing up sound. I think Marisa did that. Marisa Callen did the kind of when she finds out that they've been eating each other. It's really when you hear somebody almost throw up on audio, there's something about it. I can still listen to it and kind of chunks rising.
It starts your own gag reflex, really, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah.
Let's talk about something more delightful in that book then. Hermione's chapters with the match strike and the nib scratch.
ASMR people have the best of all sound effects. They've got running horses, you know, 15 hours of running horses, 15 hours of quills. But we recorded our own candle.
Did you?
We actually recorded that in the studio, yeah.
Wow.
And Gabino just, you know, he brought it up. He played with it in post-production, but yeah, that's an actual, we recorded that's the candle sound.
I love that.
It's me blowing on a candle.
Oh, yes.
It's terrific.
Okay, so what other cameos into audiobooks have you made? You are the candle blower, so who else are you?
Yeah, let's see. I mean, I think I was in Freak Show. I might have been one of the kids.
Were you an offensive student?
Yeah, I think I was one of the many. I don't know that I made the cut, though. I'm not sure that I made the cut. I think, oh gosh. No, you know what? I wasn't one of the mean girls, you know, where there's a scene where all the Bible Barbies or whatever their names are.
Yeah.
They're all talking about, like, do you eat poo? And those girls were all in the same studio together, and I directed them. But yeah.
Are you wearing
That must have been quite
underwear?
Fun, actually. Poo. Give me more ooh. Poo.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, so much fun.
Oh, we're back to toilets again.
Yeah, here we go.
We've come full circle.
That first part we didn't catch it. So this is new poo for everyone listening.
Sorry, new Constance.
No, I didn't even record that part. Like, that was not recorded at all. It's gone. It's gone forever. Oh, you were talking about ASMR a minute ago. Do you have a sound that you like? Like, what
a
is
sound
your,
that I a sound that I like or that I hate?
Both. But let's go like first.
What sound do I not? I mean, I have so many sounds that I love. I love the sound of stirring macaroni.
Yes.
Like when you put the cheese
That's
in.
Very specific.
Mm. Yeah, really creamy. I like the sound of leather jackets. You know, when you get that kind of squeaky, creaky leather sound, it's kind of creamy. What's another? I mean, lightning, thunder. My husband is probably like, they're not the same. One is the sound and one is the, right. thunder is one of my favorite things since I was little. So I'll run out with a tape recorder and record a thunder.
I thought you were going to say I run out there with a long stick or something.
I, yeah, I might as well be, though. I'm sort of like...
You've got a kite with a key on it.
I've got my boom mic out.
Have you ever got your boom mic out in an inappropriate place? And everybody's like, what are you doing? What?
I don't have a boom mic, sadly. I need one. All I have is my little Tascam, which is great for recording candle blowing. But
so you can't think of any sounds that you hate?
Oh no, there are plenty of sounds I hate.
Oh, good. I need some hate sounds.
Yeah. I'm thinking now. Thinking. Give me a second. I'll come back to that. I know that there are a bunch of sounds that I hate, but they're not coming to me right now.
Yeah. I really like the sound of like small streams, water on rocks. I have a collection of those.
Do you really? It's beautiful. Very soft and sort of.
Yeah. And I also really like the sound of buttering toast.
Oh. So you get that satisfying. Crispy.
Mm-hmm. But it's also, you get that like drag, is it?
Mm-hmm. The, like the drag across. Yeah. Crumb.
Yeah. But I hate, and I'm actually terrified of wind chimes.
Terrified of wind chimes. Wait a minute. That seems like one of those irrational fears that comes from somewhere, maybe a past life.
I don't know.
You were strangled by wind chimes.
I must have been. Wooden ones are okay, but any metallic, I just can't. Like, I just got goosebumps.
So what is it about that sound?
I don't know. It physically hurts me. Okay. I can't deal with it. And like, I remember several years ago for Christmas, my sister, because, I mean, I'm sure she hates my guts out, got my parents a cutlery set that hangs. And then every time she would just walk by and, like, flick a fork. And then I'm, like, shuddering back in the background with my eye twitching.
So the fork will clang against another one, and that sound is really... Yep.
You would have hated the other night. It was so windy at my house. And I have my windows on half lock. So it's not too hot. And next door have like cowbell wind chime things.
What? Oh,
no.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, they look like they're like little decorative things, but it was ding, ding, ding. And I wasn't I wasn't actually listening to an audio, falling asleep to an audio book, which is usually what I do. But I could hear it. And I was going, ooh, Amanda wouldn't like that. Should I tell her?
Like,
no.
I don't know if you can see it, but the goosebumps, like, it just keeps happening over and over and over again. I just keep shuddering about it. It's okay, because, I mean, it's a comical thing, and I'm fine with it, but... It's
totally irrational, though.
Well, isn't that weird, though, those irrational fears? You try to explain to somebody how terrified you are of this particular thing. And it makes no sense to anybody else.
Yeah, no.
But for you, it's pure horror. Yeah. Styrofoam, I realize.
Oh, no.
Yeah. See? You see that? Yeah. Ugh, God. It's like the sound of styrofoam to me is the same visceral feeling as maybe somebody chewing on tinfoil.
That's exactly what I was doing with my mouth. It was like,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, horrible. Just makes my skin crawl.
Yep. My husband has an issue with the sound of chewing on a towel.
Yes!
Yeah, chewing, and you think, like, why the fuck would you ever chew on a towel? But
yes! Wait a minute, this is your husband who doesn't like this.
Mm-hmm.
Me too. What is that?
I don't know. He can't
Or a regular towel. Either one. Doesn't matter.
How often do you hear someone chewing on a towel? I mean, children I can understand. You know when they've got those like comforter blankets?
Maybe that's what it is when you're a baby.
I'm glad that we're just talking about sounds now. It's kind of my favorite thing that has ever happened on the show.
It's one of my favorite things in life is sound. Yeah, I have a whole list. And when I took an audio class at NYU, before I got into the audiobook industry, as our final project, we had to record a bunch of sounds. So I chose, you know, a Coke a Coke can opening. I love that sound. And then pouring. That's pouring soda is one of the most calming. I could do 14 hours of pouring soda over ice cubes.
I was about to ask, with or without ice?
Both, okay. Really. But with the ice, then you get that sort of tinkling, but kind of creamy.
Yeah. Not in the tinkling that makes my eye twitch.
Right, no. The ice cubes don't make you freak out?
No, I mean, like, it's the metal sound, mm-hmm. not a glass. I mean, I don't love, like, a toast. I don't love that, but metal is worse than glass.
At least when it's a toasting, it's a finite thing. You know, once, you know, the ting, 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 it's done. You know, it's not going to keep going. It's not wind affecting it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Happened again.
Okay, well, now I know that if Dawn's book comes up with some wind chimes, what am I going to do?
You're going to crank them up just and torture me, hopefully. Yep.
Make it louder. Put a trigger warning on. So then,
if that happens, I'm going to know that it's you, and I'm going to know that it's your fault, and then I'm going to feel special, but I'm also going to hate you a little bit.
You will.
And I will laugh.
Yeah, I may have to do something, throw something in there, especially for you.
Thanks. I'll know it. I'll feel it. And then my eye will twitch, and then it'll be okay.
And it'll be all right, because Steve West's voice will kick in.
Right, exactly.
Oh, Steve, what would I do if it's like Steve West in a wind chime factory?
You would suffer for it.
You'd be
I, Amanda, I would love to do the podcast, but I need to do it from inside this wind chime factory, and you need to come to me.
See, she's crying. She's crying.
I would die. That would be so bad.
I'm living for this idea.
Oh my gosh. Oh, jeez.
My rational fear is not sound related, so this is fine.
It's hard to have an irrational fear.
I have an irrational fear that has nothing to do with sounds, but I told you about it the other night in my email.
Yes, please.
My fear is being trapped in my very fitted 1950s side zip dresses. And I've narrowed it down to, I think I had a very traumatic birth. Really, really and truly, I think this comes from being trapped in my mother's birth canal for, you know, too long. So when I'm stuck in these dresses that you essentially have to kind of shimmy into and out of very specifically, you know, they pull them over your head. When I tell you that it causes me the kind of anxiety that raises your blood pressure and your heart rate, and it's pure panic that sets in, and it's purely irrational. There's no reason for, you know, you can cut yourself out of a dress, you will not die. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to die every time that I'm stuck in one of these things. It's like, especially if you're by yourself. So I try never to try these dresses on when I'm by myself. All right. Yeah,
because then you're just like, what am I gonna do? I'm here forever. I'm here until I die.
Yeah, here I am, dead in this dress. This is how they will find me, encased in a side zip dress from the 50s.
I mean, it's not so bad if the dress is on. That's fine. You'll be a gorgeous corpse. But it's when it's over your head and your arms are locked in, and you're like, I'm stuck. This is me. This is how I live now. I am stuck. That's the terror, and I felt that. I'm a big girl, and I felt that terror in changing rooms where you're like thrashing about, and you're like, I can't get assistance. This is embarrassing. I'm just going to rip the dress off me and hide it and run away.
And that fear, you also get extra human strength, superhuman strength, and you can rip yourself out of a dress, like if you.
Just
like sometimes it gets caught in your shoulder blade the way that you're in, and you're like, if I can just get it off my shoulder blade,
right,
then at least I know it's a bit further up. But then you've got the dress flapping in your face, and your hair, even though it's tightly pocked back or it's really cut short, for some reason it just miraculously grows six foot, and it's in your face, and you're just like thrashing, and then your glasses come off.
Yes.
And then you lose a shoe. Don't ask me how that happened. I've been there, yeah. Yeah,
it's fancy. Have you never had that happen in a dressing room?
I'm not frightened by it, so it doesn't bother me.
Oh. So that's never happened where you're just stuck in something.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely, and it's awful, but I...
But you're not...
I'm not irrationally afraid of it, so I have to stop and think of how's the best way to get out of it.
Right,
that happened with yoga pants a few months ago.
Was it the ones that you pulled up over your head?
No, these were actual ones to actually use in the studio. And I was like, oh, these aren't going to work. How do I get them off? And then I had the yoga bra on as well. And like I say, big girl syndrome. I know mine's because it's big girl syndrome. It's not to do with my mother's birth canal. Mm. And it's purely because it's shame. Mine's down to shame and having no confidence and not realizing that shops don't cater to my size. And yeah, that's where mine comes from. If you want a rational, that's peacocks. Those little fuckers can die for all our care.
I was going to ask if you would please share.
I cannot stand peacocks. I hate them. I hate them with every fibre of my being. We went to Warwick Castle. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Big castle in England. They have a trebuchet, which they set on fire, and then the flaming balls. It's amazing.
Real castle.
It's Google it. It's famous. And I was on holiday there with my husband, and they've got a peacock garden. And there's at least 20 peacocks.
Oh my God.
In this peacock garden. And there's a picture of me running around this peacock garden with one of those pointy pink princess hats and a wooden sword. And I was going, if any of those fuckers come near you, mate, they're getting the sword. I was terrified. And then we decided, let's climb up the castle walls, as you do. And I turned around, and there's one of those, like, parapets. And there's a bloody great big peacock on the top of the parapet with its fucking tail sticking up.
Oh, my God.
I just went... and then pelted it, got to the top of the castle, heart palpitating like crazy, going, I can't get out. I'm stuck. This is where I live. I live here now. Oh, we're a castle. I'm a duchess. Hey. And then my husband proposed.
with the peacock?
The peacocks were nowhere near us at this time.
I was hoping a peacock like came by.
Time turned.
He's holding the ring.
He's the one who, oh God, no. He had the palpitations, proposed, and then I was like, we're getting married up here because I'm not leaving.
We're stuck here.
I'm stuck here. I mean, it happened it's just large birds, particularly peacocks. Like near my in-law's house, there's somebody has an aviary randomly, and they've got a peacock and a peahen. And I remember once going round their house, and I wouldn't leave the car because the peacock was on the top on the roof of the bungalow across the road. And I was like, nope.
I'm with you. I don't trust large birds either. I don't like seagulls. Look in their eyes.
No, they'll kill you. They'll kill you as soon as
soulless depths.
A seagull attacked me in the city centre once. I was eating a sandwich. And I remember being in Walt Disney World, and we were in Animal Kingdom doing one of the walking safari things, and I heard this, what's that? What's that? And this horrible calling sound. And then over the rise of this hill, this massive heron.
Oh no.
And I dropped to the ground, combat rolled, instinctively, threw my back up against the wall, raised the camera up, because this is before mobile phones became really good. Raised the camera up, took a couple of pictures like that, and then crawled out. And everybody's like standing there, the cast members, my husband, going, what are you doing? I just whimpered all the way out into the gorilla enclosure. At least I'm funny with it, you know? I'm irrationally, I hate these things, but, you know, it's comedy gold.
I can't believe you had the presence of mind to photograph it while you were terrorized.
I'm not going to go all the way there and not take a picture. Yeah. I wanted to go back to the bats.
They probably weren't very good pictures.
There were, actually wasn't too bad if I can find them. I'll show you it. But I just wanted to go back to the bats. You know, the bats were amazing, but the heron, oh my God, the car.
Those are big birds too, herons. They're big. They're the ones with the long legs, right? They're water birds. Yeah.
I got obsessed with watching the YouTube videos of the pelicans in Hyde Park eating the pigeons.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Cannibalism. Here we are again.
Here we are.
Full circle. Yeah. Pelicans eating pigeons is just wrong. Google it. It's horrible.
Yeah. Well, and pigeons eating vomit in the city is fun. Mm. Or rats eating other rats. That was cool.
That does sound like great
Isn't city life just delightful?
So fun.
I like when we lived in South Florida, I liked seeing the herons, like, as you're driving by in the Everglades, and they're just standing there with their wings out, like, in the most odd positions, but they just stand there like that.
That's what my husband does.
I like seeing that.
He just stands and goes,
you come home and he's in the corner.
You all right, though? I'm fabulous.
Ooh, talk about creepy. Woo!
Peppy's trying to be a bird. I need to ask him now.
Oh, well, I think the bird thing is creepy just because they're dinosaurs. They're, you know, they're modern dinosaurs. So I understand why people might be terrified.
I would rather take a velociraptor than I would a heron. Give me the lizard.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. I like dinosaurs.
You know, they probably had feathers.
They had feathers. That's what they say.
It's fine though, but they're still technically, you know,
we're ruining your dinosaurs because we're turning them into giant birds.
I know more about dinosaurs than I should.
Yeah.
I have a child. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. My dinosaur knowledge is quite extensive. I can tell you the top 10 biggest beasts right now and give you a ridiculous amount of detail about an Argentinosaurus if you so desire, but I really don't want to.
No, and I don't want to edit it out.
She's like, I already have to do so much editing on this one.
I do. This is going to be...
Sorry.
Claire, you spoke, man. We told you don't speak.
This is going to be a two-day edit, I think.
I'm still seeing scenes in my head, by the way, just so you know.
So, I feel like we should probably, like, try to get to the end and just ask...
Let's give you a life back.
Yeah, it's not fair for us to keep you this long. Do you have anything exciting that you can share with us? And it doesn't have to be audiobook related. It doesn't have to do with anything. But do you have anything exciting that you can share with us?
No. You know, my life right now is audiobooks. Like anybody else who just works from home all day. What else do we have?
Naps.
Naps.
Stirring macaroni.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just make a pot of macaroni, stir it, and throw it away. Just kidding.
No, you'd have to eat it. But you could stir it as you're eating it.
What's that macaroni that you keep telling me about? What's that macaroni I keep being told about?
The box. Do I need macaroni to send you a box of macaroni and cheese?
Well, no, what's it called? I can't remember.
Like Kraft macaroni and cheese?
Is it Kraft? Oh, that was something a bit more adventurous.
Is that what you're talking about?
Okay. You don't have boxed macaroni and cheese in the UK.
You don't?
No. You can get, like, macaroni in a packet. Just macaroni pasta.
Yeah.
But you don't get the boxed stuff that you can get.
With the powdered cheese.
Yeah. I always get macaroni and cheese when I go to America, though. I have to. It has to be an unnatural orange.
Yeah.
It's the best
neon orange.
Best one I ever had was an Ellen Stardust diner in New York.
I used to walk by that every single day.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And then I had a huge slice of key lime pie. Oh
my God. That is one of my favorite flavors of pie.
I went, that was the second time. The first time I went in, I got a Philly cheesesteak sandwich and I had to leave most of it because it was too much because I really needed pie. I was going in for the pie, but I got Philly cheesesteak sandwich. Oh, it's very nice. Can't wait to go back to New York.
I need to go because I've never been.
New York. I'm scared about New York now because it's a shell of its former self, unfortunately. A lot of the restaurants are dead now. Obviously, we haven't had any theater in a year. We probably won't have any until late fall.
Yeah.
And that drives the tourism industry and there's just nobody around. It's really sad.
To be fair, as a tourist, I go to New York not to the theatre. I have been to the theatre. I've seen theatre shows. That's fine. But I go just to walk around. Like, I'm the tourist that stands there and just looks up all the time, because I'm quite determined to find gargoyles that move or some mystical, magical creature that I've read about in a book, and I want to go to New York and find it and know that it's real. That's me. That's what I do. I studied in Trinity Church Graveyard for a long, long time, hoping to find something in there and look up. Next time I'm going to Coney Island, though. That's the
point. Yeah, Coney Island's great. The other one, St. John the Divine. There's a sculpture garden that I think you'd be really into.
Ooh.
Right outside, it's all gargoyles and, you know, like the demonic entities that are always forever battling the...
Perfect.
The divine, the angels, you know. Yeah. St. John the Divine. Perfect. Yeah, it's good. It's one of those kind of classic European churches that we have in America.
Nice. It's like when we drive in from, well, we've got cabs in from JFK, and you see these huge graveyards just rolling over the hills. It's just phenomenal. It's just I've been to London loads. And I like London to visit, but I would live in New York.
Would you?
Yeah, easily. I would live in Edinburgh first, but I would also live in New York. It's just, there was something about that. I've only been twice, but there's something about that city that honestly, it just sings to me. I just, you can feel it. Yeah.
Yep.
I adore New York.
There's some really good cemeteries in New Orleans.
Yes, that's on the bucket list as well.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Me too. I loved the cemeteries in Savannah. And what was the other one? Yeah, Savannah was great. I think we also saw Charleston. Great cemeteries in Charleston, South Carolina. Really good.
So where's the first place that you're going to go when you can go somewhere again?
I want to just go back to Colorado, where I'm from, and just visit my family. Yeah, I think that would be my first stop.
It's been going on too long that the extravagant where you want to go have gone, and it's just, you know, you just need to get a hug from your mum now, isn't it?
I know, right? I know. That's exactly what it is, though. I'd go see my family. What about you guys?
I desperately want to go home as well, but that's also because we just bought property and we haven't seen it.
Mm.
So I'd ideally like to see the property that we own. But also...
Yeah.
We've been talking about this in several episodes now whenever we have guests that we're planning, and it's really going to happen. Really, truly it is. It's just everyone meeting up in Las Vegas. Just to go.
Yeah.
And that's like a good, you know, central location for the United States anyway. You can get a flight there and it won't be too terribly much.
Mm-hmm.
But then to drag everyone from all corners.
But we have to
world.
Go to the Haunted Museum. That's my proviso. I have to go to the Haunted Museum. Yes. I'm not bothered for the gambling. I want the museum.
No, I don't care at all about the gambling. I just want to go to a place.
That's
I also want to go to Canada again.
Ghost Adventures, right? Who has the Haunted Museum?
I love Zach Packer's Ghost Adventures. It's so terrible. It's wonderful.
It's the worst, and my husband hates it, but I love it.
The episode that got me into it was years ago when they went to Edinburgh, and it was the way that he was pronouncing Edinburgh and how OTT everything was, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse, and for me that's better and better and better.
He is so stupid.
Yes.
He's so stupid. It's so fun.
Do you love him because he's terrible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they have some fun ghosty stuff, you know?
It's like, Aaron, you need to go by yourself. Oh, Aaron.
Poor Aaron. Aaron shits his pants every single episode for me.
I've watched them on repeat and everything. They're great.
See, I was a Ghost Hunter. Like, Ghost Hunters show. I watched Ghost Hunters, not Ghost Adventures.
Original. Yeah, Ghost Hunters. Ghost hunting.
I ghost hunted at a library that I worked at one time. I got to be the manager who was there overnight because the staff member couldn't be there by herself with the ghost hunting crew. So that was fun.
They really did come and hang out all night.
Yeah, it wasn't like a cool, you know, television team, but but
did
it was
they
find still,
ghosts? Supposedly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was happened fun, when though. I went ghost hunting. Yeah. Wasn't them kicking the wall at all.
No. Ooh, but now that makes me want to go back to Eureka Springs and go to the Crescent Hotel in Arkansas. So,
it's good. Super Hunter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On Ghost Hunters, it's like one of the places where they were actually like, holy shit, I think that's a real ghost.
Oh,
cool.
Yeah. They never seem to find anything, but every once in a while.
They only find everything when the cameras aren't pointing, and then you just see them screaming and running away. Well, you put the camera in the wrong place, you blooming idiots.
This one was like a, there was a definite heat signature where no one was around. And there no one had been there for forever.
I've probably watched it. We get all of those ones at like 11 o'clock at night, and I obsessively watch them all when I'm in the dark by myself.
Of course.
So we could all go there. I think that's where we should go. We should all go.
Yes.
There.
Let's just start a fictional hangover ghost hunting team. It's fine.
Yeah. Perfect. Done.
It'll be a weird gimmick, ghost hunting whilst talking about books.
Yes.
Would you rather go into the kitchen by yourself or up to the basement, the attic by yourself?
You have to stay by yourself in the basement, or
our listener says 53% is going up into the attic.
Oh man,
it's a niche podcast. Might be a YouTube channel actually.
We asked that question though to Dawn last time. We should ask you. Would you rather be in the basement or the attic of
the dead house?
The dead house, or well, it was the school. It was the school, right. Basement or attic.
I think the basement in Dead House was much more creepy and interesting to me than the attic.
Yeah. There's also a lot of poop in the attic, which is what the headliner clip that I used for that episode was just us talking about poop. And here we are again.
Here we are. We have our teams.
What a great place to end.
Let's give this lovely lady her life back.
Me too. Thank you for talking to me for 3 hours. Jeez.
Thanks for talking to us for 3 hours.
I'm just happy to have a new face.
Yeah. Oh gosh. So really, thanks so much for all of your time.
Nobody ever wants to ask questions about making audiobooks. So here's somebody who does, and I'll talk to you for 3 hours.
We will talk to absolutely anybody about audiobooks, and we quite often do.
We do. We really, really do.
Well, the industry needs more wonderful fans like you.
Thank you.
And I will always have you in mind when I make the books.
Good. Every time you add a wind chime.
Please don't put peacock sounds in. That's all I ask. I don't. I cawing peacocks.
Okay, so I'll
sound
have
like they're being strangled.
At the end of Dawn's next, after the credits, just after the credits,
just post credits at the end, just to fuck with us. Yes, I approve of this.
Sabina, like, why do you want wind chimes and peacock sounds? Really?
Just go with it.
Important.
Just trust
do it. Mm-hmm. It will frighten at least two people.
We're back to the poop again, just so you know.
Yikes! Okay.
It's a well of defunct material poop.
So good.
Where can people find out what you're up to? What is happening in the life of Elise Green?
Where can we find all the books that you've produced? Do you have a list somewhere?
That's a really good question. I don't know how you guys found me in the first place. I've never seen a site where producers are called out. So I don't know, but I can make up a list for you.
You should.
It's hard to find producers.
I wanted to like look at your back catalog and I couldn't find it. And then I felt bad as a librarian that I couldn't do that research.
No, it's really hard. I don't know how you would. I don't think it's cataloged anywhere.
That's terrible.
A list, but my Twitter and my Instagram are both Lee Screen. I think Twitter is Oodles of Noodles.
Yes. It's Oodles of Noodles. Mm-hmm. Which is... And we know why now, because you like to stir them.
You do. That, I don't know. That was me back when, in my 20s when I was stupid.
It gave me a craving for ramen noodles, just so you know. I really needed some ramen after I tagged in Oodles of Noodles.
Well, now you secretly know that you need to be eating macaroni.
That's right. Elbow macaroni with orange cheese.
Yes.
Where do we stand on bacon, by the way? Can I put bacon in?
Mm. Yes.
Okay. That's
See,
good.
I don't like to put bacon in things. I feel like, or things that have bacon flavoring.
Not a fan, really.
Mm-mm. No.
We call bacon flavored crisps in my house the flavor of regret, because you will burp them for the next 6 hours. Mm. And I had a packet today, so I can attest to that grossly. But yeah, we put bacon in absolutely. I made pasta tonight for tea, and it was mushroom and bacon.
Mushroom and bacon, delicious.
Oh yeah.
See, there you go.
Mm-mm. No. Some people like bacon, some people don't.
I love bacon. That's fine, but
Okay, let's move on.
Yes.
On that travesty of a
that's the end.
Such a pleasure though. Thank you guys. And thank you for elevating audiobooks. It's a pleasure to hear people are listening.
Well, thanks for doing what you do and giving us something to listen to.
Yes. Thank you for coming on and taking time out. You have absolutely no idea how much of a... This feels like a huge coup for us. We've been talking about you forever.
I'm crazy. That's so crazy. Thank you. Thank you for listening above anything else. It means a lot.
Now I'm back.
I'm gonna go fangirl in a pile of goo, I think, now.
Yep. So. Yep, it's happening. Just melting into the puddle and then stirring it into the noodles.
Yeah.
Done.
Stir it slowly.
Done. Mm. All right. Thanks. Thanks so much, really. You're the best. And we probably love you more now than is even reasonable. So
yeah. I'm not even gonna apologize for all the
stuff
that's gonna take place. So
nope. Okay, thanks.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
So that's it for this bonus episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire.
Join us next time as we discuss Sadie by Courtney Summers, which fulfills our Fictional Hangover Book Club Challenge for February. And the winner is read a book that has won an award. Honorable mentions are okay too. Look out for our Would You Rather polls on social media. Don't forget about our book club and monthly challenges on Facebook. Be sure to visit our shop on Redbubble at fictionalhangover.redbubble.com for all your favorite Fictional Hangover themed merchandise. And become a patron of ours on Patreon at patreon.com/fictionalhangover or support us on Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/fictionalhangover. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
Whew! Let's scrape ourselves off the floor, because I don't know about you, but I'm goo.
Yep, goo.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram at fictionalhangover, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover, and on Twitter at fictionalhangover, no ER. If you'd like this episode, check out our others and rate, review and subscribe so you don't miss out. And finally, special thanks to Liz Emerson for our music. You can find her on Facebook and Patreon. Thanks for listening.